Good evening, everyone. This is the Planning and Community Development Committee. My name is Cynthia Dallas-Johnson. I'm the chair of this committee. I'm here with my fellow council members, Councilmember McLeod and Councilmember Hogarty. Today, we have a light agenda. We just have one item, which is the update on Health Through Housing Program. And we have with us today Kelly Ryder, the Director of External Affairs from the King County Department of Community and Human Services. So we are ready for you whenever you're ready.
Okay, great. So for the record, Kelly Ryder, I'm the Director of External Affairs for the Department of Community and Human Services at King County, as you mentioned. And really appreciate everyone's time here tonight. I also appreciate you letting me join virtually. It's nice to see everyone actually in a same room now that we are in an adjusted place to respond to COVID, and I hope to be able to join you in person next time. But thank you for allowing me to do this time. I've got a pretty quick slide deck that I think is in your packets for this evening. Really just coming back after I think it's been over a year now of talking to you about the Health Through Housing initiative. We've made some progress that I've had a chance to catch a few people up on. Want to make sure that I can provide all of the detail that you all might be interested in about where the initiative is at, and then really seeking a question about whether Tukwila would like to proceed with being a participating city. I'll lay out the steps tonight about the implementation plan that the county has adopted, which states how the county should go about siting our Health Through Housing facilities. And then a question for you at the end about how you would like to go about entertaining that question. So if that works for you all, I can get started with that quick slide deck.
Sounds good.
Sure, the share is working here. All right. So as we discussed last year, Health Through Housing is the county's initiative to create a 1,600 units of affordable housing specifically for those who are chronically homeless or at risk of chronic homelessness. And by that, what we mean is those who have experienced homelessness for 12 months or longer and have disabilities. So far, we have been able to, over the last year, make some substantial progress at achieving that 1,600 unit goal. We have so far purchased 971 units across 10 buildings in 6 cities. I know the last time that I spoke with the city was very interested in how we were going about distributing these buildings geographically. So you'll see in this map, our yellow bubbles are where we do have Health Through Housing sites at this time. Our most recent acquisition in Kirkland, we've got 3 that are either open or planning to open in South King County. And that is our site that recently opened in June in the city of Renton, as well as 2 sites, one in Federal Way and one in Auburn, that we plan to have open here by the end of the year, and we'll be soon announcing providers to be able to operate those buildings. We also are working really closely with the city of Seattle, who has some buildings that we term operations only. We're not acquiring buildings for those purposes. Those buildings are being built new with other funding. But all of that together means that we are about 2 buildings shy of achieving our 1,600 unit goal. It is our goal to be able to have all of those 1,600 units on the right path here by the end of the year and finish with our acquisitions by the end of 2022. It was our hope to finish acquisitions by the end of 2021. We didn't quite make it. We've had a few more to go this year. So still looking here over the next 6 months to finish up that goal. Just a quick snapshot of what those units look like. They will look very representative, perhaps, of typical hotels that you may have stayed in. We also have one at the bottom middle of this slide that is actually a building that was intended for apartments or studio apartments. And that's another building that we've been able to convert into Health Through Housing in the Pioneer Square neighborhood. Again, as I mentioned, close to your home, we've got a couple of pictures of our folks that recently converted from our CTAC city de-intensification site, where we had been fortunate to host a hotel that had folks during the COVID pandemic staying temporarily who would have been in congregate shelter hosted by Catholic Community Services really spread throughout South King County. We were fortunate with the City of SeaTac's partnership as we continued to work with them throughout the pandemic to ensure that we stayed able to support those individuals. Now we've been able to offer all of those individuals that met eligibility a new home in the Rent and Health Through Housing building. And so those 97 individuals were welcomed into their new home in June, and that building's now fully up and operating. So as I said, just a quick walk through the official Health Through Housing property siting process. This was adopted by Ordinance 19366 last December, so it was not in place yet when we last spoke. It was approved unanimously by both the Regional Policy Committee and the full County Council, and it lays out an 8-step property siting process that I will quickly walk through. So first is just the initiation of a potential Health Through Housing partnership, really making sure that the county and the city have designated individuals to be able to talk with each other, make sure that those lines of communication are open. This is really the first initiative in the last decade that I've seen in affordable housing in the county, where King County has specifically said we will not move forward unless we have a firm partnership with the city, and the city has given us the ability to move forward with acquiring a property. So I want to be super clear tonight. We cannot move forward without going through these 8 steps. It is required by county ordinance, and the first step is for us to begin conversations. By my assessment, we began those communications last year. I've itemized a couple of those steps here. That's what I'm tracking. Happy to hear from the city anything else that you are tracking, but happy to kind of restart those conversations here tonight. Step two, and what I would say is perhaps really where we are at with the county and city discussions, is to consult and agree upon site requirements, city process, and participants. So should the City of Tukwila want to continue conversations about a potential Health Through Housing site, King County will be looking for Tukwila to tell us what are the necessary characteristics of properties to consider for Health Through Housing use, and then who will represent the city in future steps of the conversation. In many places, we have worked very closely with a strong mayor or city manager. In some places, that's been delegated to a deputy city administrator or a deputy city manager. We are really looking for the city to tell us and ensure that we know who is the person who can accurately represent the city's intention. How the city goes about identifying the necessary characteristics of properties and being able to then determine what the city should consider in characteristics to look for is, of course, up to the city. And so any kind of process that the city would like to have for communicating amongst yourselves, being able to have open sessions and dialogues about that is certainly something that King County would want to support and make sure that we can bring any capacity that we have to any of those conversations to support the city's success. 3, 4, and 5 then really fall out of our ability to agree on acceptable characteristics of a site. So once the city has told the county, here's what would be amenable for us, we would go through a path of identifying any potential properties. One really important factor of properties is that we are only looking for willing sellers. And so there may be any variety of hotels that folks may see or even existing apartment buildings. Unless there's a willing seller, we are not able to purchase it. In addition, we're looking for appropriate zoning and permitting authority. There are specific things we talked about last year that I have to go through in terms of the building makeup and ensuring that there are really no external corridors, but everything is really internal and the hotel is kind of a box shape. So that we could adequately control for people moving in and out of the building. The fourth step is an equity and social justice impact review, and really being able to look at whatever site is a potential purchase to ensure that we understand what the equity and social justice impacts would be and that we can address whatever impacts we need to mitigate. And so this really means making sure that we understand both the negative and the positive equity impacts to the persons who would both live within the building, but also who live nearby the building. And then based on our search of identifying potential properties and an equity and social justice impact review, the county and the city would together be able to form a list of feasible and acceptable health through housing properties, which then would allow King County to move forward to seek a purchase, sale, or use agreement. A purchase and sale agreement is yet again another one of those steps where the county will not step into a purchase and sale agreement without hearing from that city-specified delegated authority that we are good to go. We have the green light to seek out that purchase and sale agreement. And after we are in a purchase and sale agreement, the implementation plan does direct us to specifically go and seek public feedback on the site and how we will ensure its success. You'll notice here some language specifically from the implementation plan that says that the public meeting must be timed to occur after the county has negotiated an agreement and at a point in the process that the public meeting does not risk an increase of price. This is to ensure that we can protect the county's financial well-being when it comes to this deal. And we're really trying to make sure that we balance both being upfront and clear about the property that we are seeking, but also making sure that we can protect our ability to negotiate the best price. Pausing here, this is just a short list of some of the different community engagement tools King County has deployed at our 10 health through housing sites so far. They can go anywhere broad enough to be a large public meeting, either hosted by the city council or co-hosted by the city and the county. But we've also had things as specific as phone calls to neighboring businesses with lists that the city has provided us, flyering or doorbelling nearby residents, as well as having focus groups of interested parties to really dive into specific questions and details that the city or the county would like to have more information about to inform our approach. And then only after that community engagement session would the county be allowed under the implementation plan to close on the purchase. This, again, is something that is new for our acquisitions this year. So anything that we acquired last year did not comply with these steps. This ordinance was not in place. Now that this ordinance is in place, we're making sure that we have all of these steps secure and that community engagement session always happens prior to the closure of the purchase. So just a few more details from my end. After the purchase, King County will continue to partner with the host cities on three very specific criteria, and I want to go into those just a little bit. One is making sure that we have the right operator and provider selected and how we go about doing that with a city. Another is firming up our local referral pathway and a few more details about that. And then finally, just talking about specifics of ongoing communication commitments that the county has made. So first, on the county procurement process, we always partner with host cities on the procurement of the building operator and service provider selection. So this means that in the drafting of the procurement documents, the city reviews those documents to ensure that any community feedback that you've seen has been reflected in those documents. It means that as we go out, anything specific in your city code that might be applied is reflected in the documents. And then it also means that the city is at the table when we're reviewing applications, rating applications, and ensuring that it's really done together. And that both parties feel comfortable and confident about the provider that's been selected. Four steps to this process. We did put out a request for qualifications last year to solicit a list of operators that may be interested in providing services in our health through housing buildings. At this point, then, all of the procurement processes that we are doing are within that large bucket of providers that have signed up to participate and potentially provide services. I believe the list is around 40 or so, depending on the type of service that we're procuring. Since then, we've been doing community and business engagement, but certainly city-specific. We'll be doing that community and business engagement. And at the point in time of that purchase and sale and making sure that we have a community engagement session or many community engagement tools deployed, this is really the phase where hearing from community about what it is they're most interested in, what's best going to make the building successful, can really be turned right into information in the procurement process and as we move forward. The next step then is to be able to go into that request for bid and finally announcing an operator. The second piece to touch on in our partnership with cities after a building is selected is the local referral process. We are by state statute required to have about 15% of our buildings that receive local referrals. The county has determined in our conversations with cities, with other public partners and neighborhoods that 60 to 65% of buildings is actually more appropriate. And so in our work with cities right now, that is the proportion of buildings that we are aiming to have locally referred. That means that it is both the city and neighborhood local that we want to refer. And then in many of our communities, they've asked us to go a little bit farther than that and think about other neighboring cities, other broader geography that's really nearby and connected with the host city and the host site to make sure that that building really is serving folks that can best succeed in that building. Whether that means that they attend a faith community nearby, whether that means they have family nearby, or whether that means that while experiencing homelessness, they have been in immediate vicinity. All of those characteristics have at this point in time been part of our considerations for local referrals. When we go into local referrals then, we're really looking to a partnership with the city and local providers in the community to help us understand who are these individuals that may need to be locally referred and would be eligible for the program. So oftentimes folks on the ground in the community, whether that's providers, businesses, the city itself, has a much better idea of where folks have encampments, where folks may be experiencing parking in their car in order to experience homelessness safely, and being able to identify those spots, those providers where we can best reach folks experiencing homelessness in the local community is part of our pathway to make sure that we reach those individuals who really need help through housing in your community the most. 60 to 65% being the local referral, then the remainder is where we are working with the regional coordinated entry system on this last bullet in order to be able to also refer residents who may be experiencing homelessness throughout the region. And then this final slide is really just a few bullets required by the implementation plan stating our commitment to cities and how we communicate with cities throughout the operation of a health through housing building. So having an annual meeting between the county, city staff, and the service provider to talk through any issues that are coming up, any changes in service provision that we want to be able to recommend or mitigate. Next, making sure that there is specifically a city council briefing offered annually to discuss the performance of the building. This, of course, is a minimum that we set. It certainly doesn't mean that we can't do more than this if that's what the city is requesting. And the implementation plan even speaks to the idea that in the early years of a health through housing operations, it will likely be helpful to be able to have these meetings more than annually in order to establish and create better communication channels moving forward. And then the last couple of things, just making sure that those operator contracts actually speak to the operator's need to be responsive to the city, and that if any concerns are identified through those communications, that we as the county will work with the provider and work with the city in order to make sure that we overcome and appropriately problem solve any challenges that are coming up in the building. Just a few things that we have heard in our community engagement session. While every city and community is unique, we know that many of the same concerns, many of the same issues or things to mitigate come up in many communities. So we have certainly been continuing to document through those through our community engagement sessions so far and already figuring out how we can best address that in balance with how we provide best successful buildings so that we can provide for health through housing in these 1,600 units. So that's what I've got tonight. Thank you for letting me go through all of that talking and happy to address any questions or share any information that's helpful.
Thank you. I want to start with staff because it says here, you know, you're indicating that we're at the second stage in the process. And I know that this was I wasn't on the committee last year when this was addressed, and I'm just wondering whether staff has recommendations on what step in the process that we're at right now. Like, what would be the action that we would take at this meeting to take us forward? Is that the step we're at right now? Would it be going to the committee the whole? I know one thing that was important that I've discussed with staff is that it's important that we do community engagement around this. And maybe that's something that we discuss as council today, is even just the decision to be a host city is a decision that we should make with community input, you know, because right now we're not talking about a specific site location. We're not asking for community engagement on a specific site location. That has to remain undisclosed for various reasons. And so I'm just wondering if Rachel, you want to chime in terms of recommendations on the next steps that we could take here in this committee.
Sure. Good evening. For the record, Rachel Bianchi, Deputy City Administrator. So a couple of points I think are key is that I would agree with Ms. Ryder's assessment that we're at phase two, right? There's been sort of conversations back and forth, and I appreciate her recognizing that we've had some fits and starts here as we've come to the committee over the past 2 years. I think Councilmember Hogarty is the you're the stabilizing force between last year and this year, so you probably have more thoughts about that and where we are. Staff's here to support the council in whatever way you are interested. I do think that this would rise to the level of a discussion on the committee of the whole, so that the full council can weigh in. I think that's important. If there is an interest in going to the community and getting more input on some of those characteristics that Ms. Ryder showed on the penultimate slide, we'd be happy to do that. We're here to support you. So I think the conversation that you all will have tonight will sort of help provide us at least a draft path that we could then put in front of you to move forward.
Thank you. I'll move into council member questions. I'll start with Council Member Hogarty.
Yeah, I think that this is the level of going to the full council. So I agree with that. But the thing is how far do we go or what do we vet before we get to the full council? Because it's a really big decision that needs to be made by all seven of us, or at least discussed by it. So, and I totally agree with the idea that we need to do our outreach before becoming a willing city, because it seems like once we are a willing city or whatever are you still calling it willing city? Is that, I'll call it willing, host city. Okay.
Host city is usually what we talk about.
Yeah. It's the new name. Okay, host city. So because city, we would vet out quite a bit of information. For example, necessary characteristics of the property, as an example, right? Mm-hmm. And then what it appears to me is that once we are a host city, then basically we've said, King County, go ahead. We've given you enough parameters now. You can pick a site and do some negotiating. And then at that point, we'll come back and do our outreach. Is that true? So when we say we'll be a host city, you'll say, well, then we can go and do step 3, 4, 5, 6. And then we're back at 7. Is that true? I mean, you'll be talking to our staff at the same time, but is that true?
Yeah, it really is up to the city. And so if the city wanted to do a public engagement process after we have identified potential sites and be able to talk about how we provide health through housing effectively, then we can certainly do that. I think the tension that you've named is we wouldn't at that stage prior to purchase and sale agreement be able to release the specific site. And so we would have to work with that tension and the county just wouldn't be able to do that consistent with our ordinance.
Right, that makes sense. So basically we would have to do, if we want to do outreach, we either do it non-site specific or maybe general, which is what you were talking about, outreach to the community before, like now, would be right now, or we go into the whole city, and then you can find a particular site. There's only one thing that I did want to make a comment on, and that's on page 11, and that's during the public meeting, which is done after with preliminary negotiations with the site would happen, and then we'd go to the public meeting, and it says here, the purpose of the meeting will be to inform a joint decision by the city and county staff on whether to proceed or how to proceed. So it's like, so in a way it does say we could pull the plug then, but it doesn't make sense because you've already gone into negotiation. We talked about this, Kelly, last Friday. We've gone into negotiation. The property's taken their property off the market. And then we would just say, oh, no, really, just kidding. We're not going to do that. I don't think that's really a good way to do business. So, I don't think that we would want to do this. So that brings the community engagement back to now.
Can I interject the question?
Yeah.
Because I had a question. Is there an example where King County would not follow through with a sale after public feedback?
Yeah. So we do, as I said, follow the city's lead. And if there is some reason that the city decides to stand up and say, nope, you may not proceed with this purchase and sale agreement, we would not be able to go to closure. As you can imagine, the way that we structure that deal would determine how much money King County would lose out on by backing out of that purchase and sale agreement, right? How much real money did we put up in order to ensure that the seller was comfortable being able to enter into that agreement? I will say that my real estate folks have shared with me that there is the opportunity to consider going into a purchase and sale agreement with the caveat that the city agrees to the closing. And so that would be the kind of way that we would create a contingency and be able to ensure that if your city wanted to reserve that right, we could reserve that option. It will come with a certain amount of strings, but I think that's another way if you all wanted to pursue the next few options, but ensure that there was that community engagement process that was really viable, that we would be able to do that. And if you needed to, we could pull the plug at that stage.
Yeah, I just think it's not really the best way to do business. So especially since we could go back and start a process right now and talk to our community about this. And so really the short story for me is that if we want to become a host city, we need to talk to our people before we do that. And so what makes Tukwila different from other cities? Why would you maybe not have to do that in other cities? Well, we're a 9 mile square radius. Whereas if you go someplace like Auburn, they're 29 square miles, or Renton is 20 square miles. So we have a lot more impact. For example, we're going to have the Lehigh down here, and then the Renton health through housing is just basically, it's like less than a mile the way the crow flies from that housing. You've got the Renton one is right against the Tukwila border. So there's things like that we need to consider. Since we are a small city, we don't have Covington and then downtown Kent or something like that. You know, we just don't have a lot of equity spaces that are far apart from each other. So those are the kinds of things that we would need to be considering. That's all I have.
Great. Well, to that last point, is it okay if I go?
Yeah,
please. To that last point, we just gave the okay recently for tiny houses to be built on Interurban. That's one of the sites. They have two sites. The Interurban site will have 30 homes on it. And as Kathy said, as the crow flies, it's just a mile away from your one listed here, number two, Oaksdale in Renton. Do you have a requirement that there has to be so much distance between these as you set these up in the region?
The county does not establish those. Those characteristics can certainly come out in the city's discussions around how to make sure that we appropriately scale our real estate search. I will say we absolutely look across the region at making sure that we set these up for success. And so in many cities, when we have talked about the characteristics with communities, it's been things like can residents access a bus? are residents going to be able to access food effectively, whether that means there's a grocery store nearby or they're on a bus that can get them to a grocery store? How will they access kind of hub services that might be located in the sub-region or in the region overall? So that's what we've typically discussed with the different host cities. And nexus to other buildings is certainly something that comes up from time to time in city codes, but not something that the county has dictated.
Okay, so to another point that was talked about, it would seem to me that you would want to have public buy-in before you got too far down the path here, but it seems like, and I understand that the county will have kind of a sale agreement in place and then go to the public, but that never works well with the public, you know, when the deal's already in place, because what would be the scenario where the county would then back out of it? Would they have to have enough public outcry? I mean, I saw in the paper that the one up in Kirkland is, there's a lawsuit happening as a result of it. So what is the public outcry that needs to happen? Because you've already got this agreement in place with the property owner. And I don't know how that would play out, because at that point, then we're trying to go to the public and say, what do you think about this? And I understand your concerns with the price going up if, you know, the public makes a lot of noise about it, but the public's going to say, you guys aren't being very transparent. You already got the deal done. Doesn't it put us in that position?
Yeah, again, we really look to the city to tell us what you feel most comfortable with. You're the ones, as I've been told in multiple host cities, who are most directly connected to your residents, and we trust your insights when it comes to this. I will say what the county is trying to balance is the urgency around moving folks into housing from homelessness, and the fact that right now we certainly hear the outcry from residents, businesses, as well as people experiencing homelessness themselves, to be able to act with urgency and balance that urgency against the importance of engaging and thoroughly being transparent with the community neighborhood that may be impacted.
Well, I'll say at this meeting and maybe at the COW, it's concerning if we go to the public and the deal's kind of already done. We're just waiting to disclose it to the public. I don't think they receive that very well. A couple other questions. How are you selecting your operators? Did you have quite a list that you choose from? I think I saw one of them that the Catholic Community Services is the operator of one of the Renton residents. That must be the one on Oaksdale.
Yep.
So. And I think they're a pretty solid organization. Do you have a long list then of operators that you're choosing from? How do you select your operator?
Yeah, and let me know if you'd like me to pop that slide back up again. Slide 15 gives a little bit of detail, but I can give some more. We do have a list that we created from a request for qualifications process countywide. It's about 30 to 40 organizations across the county that provide varying types of services and are interested in operating or service provision of the building. And I can send that to you. It's attached to our implementation plan ordinance. Every time that we go to procure for a specific building, then all of the organizations that have applied for a request for qualifications are eligible entities to apply for the request for bid. And so when it comes to a specific site, we create a specific request for bid that is very locally specific. As I mentioned, it incorporates community feedback that we've heard about what a successful provider needs to be aware of or be able to do, right? It can include things like a provider would be prioritized that has experienced service in the local community, or it can include things like, please prepare for us a description of how you would ensure success on this issue that we've heard from the public. So providers then are solicited to apply for that request for bid. And depending on the request for bid, we get any number of applicants that we can then weigh against each other in partnership with the city to be able to choose the one that comes out on top.
Okay, so you select an operator and they promise that this is how it will be, but it doesn't turn out that way. And it's not going as we all hoped. Is there any exit strategy the city would have, the host city, to say this isn't working?
So there are certainly strategies to mitigate and move forward. As you can imagine, there are trade-offs. And so in any kind of investment, the county and the city would need to be able to work together on that. And so our first step would really be able to mitigate. And as I talked about the communication channels, being able to work through on why aren't we achieving the results that we hope for? What is it that we need to do in order to achieve those results? I will share that when we've budgeted for these specific buildings, the county has financially modeled for a higher level of investment in services than we have ever invested in a housing building before. And so this certainly has a higher level of ability to be successful, and we've invested in that way. That said, we want to keep hearing from the city. We also have requirements to establish agreements upon with neighborhood partners and making sure that there's that constant communication channel. So there will be a 24/7 phone number for local businesses or residents to call if there are any concerns. There will be ongoing regular meetings with community partners where folks can highlight any concerns that they've had and be able to work through any issues. And then ultimately being able to go to a contractual vehicle if needed to be able to hold a contractor accountable is certainly something that the county can do. When it comes to, and just to be direct to your question, when it comes to could the city become not a host city, that would entail the county having to disinvest from a building. So it really comes down to our ability to sell the property. And that would come down to a lot of different trade-offs about the price that we could reach for selling the property and what was best for the portfolio for Health Through Housing and how to balance community interests and the need to house folks. But as you know, I don't want to restate myself too often. I think the county has tried to be very clear in the implementation plan that this is absolutely intended to be a partnership. The implementation plan makes it so that we cannot walk away by ordinance from that partnership. And so if anything is going wrong, we will keep coming back to the table and keep brainstorming how to problem solve until we can reach an agreeable solution.
Thank you. I have one last question. County councils change. So the council that implements this program, does the budget for this program have reserves to give it longer standing life?
It absolutely has reserves. And I can send you our reserve requirements if that's helpful.
Well, when it goes to the full council, that would be good to include that in whatever goes to the full council.
Great.
So we have to move. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you. So first, what I'm hearing is that we all seems like, and I'll say that because I heard you guys and I'm in agreement with a lot, which is we go to full council with this. And that we want to go out to the community prior to any deal being made. We want the community's feedback prior to King County entering into any sort of like deal with any hotel here. Is that what I'm hearing from you too?
Yes. And then what I said was, so probably because that's problematic, if there's a specific property, it might be good to do it just in general ahead of time, because mm-hmm. If you've got a specific site in mind, you can't really tell the public that, mm-hmm. and because the price could go up on the property and stuff. So yes, and my suggestion was that we do it soon, yeah. So that but that would also be prior to any deal being made. It would just be
agree, like put this on there quickly, do public outreach soon. Would we do that prior to bringing this to the full council, or would we bring this to the full council and say, hey, we want to go to public outreach and we want the public's thoughts about Tukwila being a host city, and then give them an opportunity, maybe like a town hall or some kind of forum where folks could learn about Health Through Housing, receive a similar presentation as we did. I mean, one of the things that stood out to me that I didn't notice before is the locations of all the sites, and there's not really any located in this, like, Tukwila, SeaTac, Des Moines, like, Central, Burien, it basically in between Seattle and Federal Way, although there is that one in Renton, but there's not really any more centrally located. So I don't know. I think it's also good for the public to know about the health through housing, how things are going, how close they are to meeting the goal. And just what the county has been doing to address homelessness. Because it's not, I mean, I drive every day and I see people on the streets, sleeping at bus stops, sleeping in their cars. Like it's, and I'm sure our neighbors see it. And what I really like about this is that they're reserved space for local referrals. And that's not really, I don't remember if that was something that Lehigh were invented. I know that there were folks already living in at Riverton Methodist, but I really like that this could make, we could have local referral here. The other thing that I had emailed Rachel and Laurel about was getting input from our community policing team about this, as well as I think Rachel said she had also reached out to the fire chief to weigh in on this when it goes to the full council. So those are my thoughts. Where I think that we're all gelling right now is take this to committee of the whole, take it there soon, have a similar presentation. The recommendations from this committee could be that we want this to go to the full council with the question of the community is, should Tukwila be a host city? And if we're a host city, you know, what are the characteristics of, like, what are the characteristics of a property? And I think what might be helpful, Kelly, is if you could provide in the slides or the presentation some of those different characteristics that other cities have identified. I'm also, okay, the last thing I'll say, sorry, I've been talking a lot, is I'm curious as to what's in the equity and social justice impact review. And I wonder if, you know, maybe some of the characteristics that would be pertinent are also included in the ESJ impact review. I know one thing I remember Councilmember Hogarty mentioning was access to food is an important thing. And there are some sites that don't, or there, you know, there are some hotels in our city that aren't that close to like a grocery store. And is that going to be problematic? So I would just be interested in also knowing what's in the ESJ impact review.
And I thought of,
and I'm done. So yeah, you could go.
I forgot to mention one last thing that Kelly, you and I talked about. And that was that I would really like to go see some of the other sites. So we as council members could be informed when we talk to people, we can say, well, we saw this site and this is how this works. So I especially the Renton site, because it's just right here to see that one, and maybe some of the other ones to see how they're working. I think, does the Renton site have little kitchenettes in it? Wasn't that the type of hotel it was, an extended stay? So see, that's really ideal. Because then you can buy groceries, right, as opposed to being a hotel room where you've got to get your food more prepared. That gives you a lot more flexibility when it comes to access to food. So those are just types of things that we can just, if we see them, we could talk about that. And if we were maybe a couple steps ahead, you can't really have the whole public go on tour of a site, but I think that's a really important component for us to be able to see a few of these sites that are up and running already.
I agree.
Yeah, and then I thought of one other question, and that is with the service providers, you've heard both me and Tom say that we have a lot of confidence in Catholic Community Services based on previous experience that we know. So it would be nice to know that we have other service providers that are of that perceived quality, that we have that perceived quality of them, and hopefully they are, that there's more than just one. And so so when you come back to the council, that would be really a good thing to have, would be some more information about the service providers just available for us to be able to have.
Yeah, I'm happy to provide the list of service providers that we've already selected. I will also share on the other side, our provider community is very strapped right now. We have asked a lot of them over the last 2 years of the pandemic. We have done a huge influx of federal resources to be able to expand programs. And that means that there aren't always providers that are ready and willing to stand up. When we work with cities, it also means on the other side that if we cannot establish a successful partner, that we will wait and we will go again. And we have done that a couple of times now. We have gone out to procure a provider. We have gotten to the end of that process and not felt confident that the city and county have a provider that we're ready to move forward with. And rather than choose a provider that the city is not comfortable with, we wait and we go again. And when we have gone again, then we've been successful at being able to secure an agreed upon provider. So I'll get you that list of other providers that's in our implementation plan. I'll also get you our latest ESJ impact review. I think that's for our City of Kirkland building so that you can see an example of how we've done that. And then just a note on food access, in the extended stay, it does have the kitchens. In all of our buildings over time, our intent is to be able to go in and rehab the buildings to be able to have the kitchen. For the urgency of the issue, we are not waiting for the kitchen before moving folks in. And so instead, we do have a food access plan with every building. And so if that is making sure that the budget incorporates some sort of meal delivery, if that is making sure that we can support some sort of market, there's been folks that have offered to bring almost like food trucks, but not like restaurant trucks, but more like purchasing food trucks in. So there's a variety of ways that we're making sure that food access is available. Part of it is making sure that a grocery in the long term is available. In the short term, though, we've got these other strategies.
Councilmember McLeod?
Early in your slide, first of all, I want to say thank you for spreading this out throughout the region, not having it in any one specific area. On your seeking 95 non-Seattle operations only units, are you still looking for that? And if we say we want to be a host city, could we say we'd like to be the one that has operations only?
We are still seeking to apply those 95 operations only units. I will say that it is the executive's interest in making sure that we can invest those as soon as possible to help buildings get constructed quickly. And so we are on those looking for a partner that is already in process of trying to construct a building and where we have the ability to capture state and federal resources to get that capital going for that building. So if there's a building like that in Tukwila, certainly an option. If there's not something up and going, that makes it more complicated.
So because we already made the commitment to the tiny houses, that's already 50 units then that we've committed to as a community to help support or make sure it has success. Now, I don't know if there will be in the community not as much interest to take on more. So I just wondered if there was some sort of administrative way we could participate that didn't have the same impact as, you know, having the 185 units that you're looking for.
Yeah, and to clarify, these units that we need to fund under the operations only concept still have to fit within all of our eligibility requirements for the health through housing statute and the codes and ordinances. And that means that we are funding housing. We are funding it for specific individuals who are eligible. And so we wouldn't, for example, just be able to tag this funding into a tiny home village. It would need to be long-term emergency and permanent supportive housing.
Thanks. Don't have any more questions.
Okay. Kathy, do you have any more questions? Does staff have any questions of us, or does it seem clear on what the next steps are?
Mm-hmm. I think we're clear. I think just a quick question, because as we know, packets are due tomorrow for the COW on the 25th. If Ms. Ryder was to go ahead and use the existing packet that you have today, and then we supplement with the other things that you asked through emails to the full council, would that be sufficient?
Yep.
Okay. I think that's the only question I have. Thank you.
I think that's all for our agenda. Do we have any miscellaneous
items?
Okay. Awesome. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much.
Thank you.